You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon podcast.
I think we're supposed to die.
Remember that time I said we should consider running?
It is a giant snail, amoeba.
Brother Ramius.
A chunk of it seems to detach and come flying at you.
That's a crit.
That's a crit. When you get hit, you lose your footing. So you are in the water, holding onto the rock. Asta. One of its pseudopods comes out and just...
That's a crit. Yeah. I'm going to go down again.
Oh my God.
And
so
I was
you're dying
already
too.
Down.
You're
dying too.
Put a hand on this like slippery rock covered in algae. And he'll try to pull himself up. Reach out and cast heal on Asta.
All right. I roll off the rock. I'm in the water. And I swim downstream with the current to get to shore.
Asta. I had the only smart idea here. I will roll off the rock and into the water.
For the Ramius. That's going to be a crit.
Oh.
Jeez.
Dying too. So he just...
Talitha. Swim check.
Fail.
You go 10 feet, down.
Further down.
The river starts to turn, and there's a waterfall.
Yep. Roll Ramius!
Fail. Dying 3.
Yeah.
13 points of bludgeoning.
I'm down. Jesus.
And because you were wounded, you go to
dying 2. At least
you're
not in the water now.
2.
Yep.
Let's just take in the scene here. Talitha is being swept downshore towards a waterfall. Buggles is now by himself. Asta is on the shore. This creature is still so very much alive, and any damage that's taken from you guys has been abysmal. Which die are you using? Hold it up to the light.
There it is.
And get ready to roll it.
No.
In just 1 week.
No! You son of a bitch!
The adventure continues. Now.
What you can't see right now is everyone is pointing and playing air musical instruments. Being real weird because they don't think they're on camera. You're on camera!
No, the show opens with just you. It's just
I
a
know,
shot of you.
But you guys are being real funny.
So do
you
we have can a, do whatever we want over here.
Do you have a favorite air instrument?
Microphone.
Yeah.
Air microphone.
Air microphone.
It's not an instrument.
Like this? Do we call that an instrument?
How do you do an air mic? Oh, that's
pretty good.
You've done that before.
So it's like air singing.
Yeah, and it's the best because it's also silent. It's maybe the funniest one because it's not an instrument.
We used to backstage do an air show. What was the song? It was Jane.
The Jane.
Jane. Oh, Jane.
It was Jane. Yeah, that's right. I like the high bass, the really certainly high bass
one.
Way up here.
We don't do that with the shows now because that's why.
Who's on drums? Who likes the drums?
I love the drums. I'm a big air drums guy. I love distinguishing between the hi-hat versus another cymbal versus the snare or a deeper drum or when you're double tapping the bass.
You sound like a guy that can play a drum.
I can't even close.
Really?
It's so amazing.
You know the lingo.
I sit down behind a set of drums and I got the hi-hat here and I got the snare, right? And I got the bass drum. And I explained what beat to play, very basic beat, whatever. And I'll start it, and no matter what I do, in about 8 to 9 seconds, everything hits at the exact same time. Like, I can't distinguish between my hands, and I'm like, this is impossible.
It's really alchemy.
I don't know how anyone does this.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's alchemy. I don't know how anybody does it.
That's why I just do it in air. It looks great in air.
There's this, I don't know if it's Instagram, TikTok, one of these things, this guy playing drums, and it's just other people who are amazing at drums, amazed at this guy who is like beyond the enough stuff he can do in like a second. It's pretty wild. Matthew, you got a favorite
Yeah, you know. keys.
Oh, you
like keys. Oh, that's right. Keys.
And you play
keys.
Like the 80s multiple keys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He plays multiple tiers.
I got my organ over here. I got my keys over here.
Like
double stack.
Like seagulls.
That's right. He goes up to up top on the side. That's a good one.
You don't see a lot of multiple keyboards.
Anyway. Got my Moog over here. Got my
What about the guitar that had the keyboard on it? That was fun.
Oh, guitar.
The guitar.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Okay, what are you, a triangle?
You know what?
Air triangle.
Yeah, for sure. I don't do air instruments. I feel like weird when I do it because like you start doing it and you're like, I'm not.
Just give it a try.
I'm not holding anything.
Try it.
We'll try. We can always cut it out if it looks weird.
But the sound, it'll sound great.
Oh, whoa.
I can hear it in my soul.
That
wow,
is a,
there it is.
Yeah. A sonorous ding.
What song is playing in your head?
You can't even say it on air.
Literally nothing.
She's just playing the triangle.
To be fair,
just like focusing really hard on
the triangle solos out there.
Yeah. There should be. There should be.
Could be the cowbell. Could be a triangle. Could be a dude cowbell.
You know what came? A cowbell was the noise that came into my head when I was doing this, and then of course Pink Floyd started playing, which I fucking hate Pink Floyd.
You like Pink Floyd?
Not really.
What are you, Johnny Rotten?
Their songs are like movies, you know?
Our background today is dedicated to Pink Floyd.
They're fine.
Why do you like Pink Floyd?
Why don't you like Pink
Floyd? They're fine. I don't hate them.
Okay.
They're fine.
What did they do? Did that something happen?
They have like...
You're looking down in shame.
Is everything okay?
Well, you're a big Roger Waters guy.
I feel like I just always have these controversial opinions like, oh, you can get Franklin's Barbecue in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like movies. Pink Floyd is like the movies of songs.
Because they're too long.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's fair.
Okay.
All right. So not a big Grateful Dead fan.
I don't think that they're my thing, no.
I don't see you as a jam band.
Don't tell that to anyone.
Band.
Don't tell that to anyone where I live.
You hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. That is blast for me. You better hope no one in Woodstock watches this.
You could have chosen a lot of places to live if you didn't like jam music.
Do you like fish?
Seriously, you went to jam music mecca.
You know, every Sunday there's a jam. There's a drum circle in the middle of town.
Oh my God!
And I can hear it from my house.
I'll tell you, we got a couple of close friends that are fish fans, and I don't. I really don't want to yuck anyone's yum, but when they send me photos, I'm like, there is something actually wrong with you.
Yeah, I agree.
You like this and keep going to see them as many times as you
can. It's the photos that make you think about the
I'm just
music?
Like, what is? How can you do this?
How is this enjoyable?
Right. Like, you do drugs at home. Why do you gotta pay all that money to go do drugs?
I just never, like, my uncles were, like, always into, like, Grateful Dead and everything. There's a couple Grateful Dead songs I like, but, like, I don't like the Grateful Dead, generally. Mm. And, like, that, and Fish, same thing. I just, it's not my fucking thing.
I feel like that's the only time you would listen to jam band music play
is
for
with your
hours
uncles?
On end is when you're on drugs.
No, I love it. I love
really?
It. I love Grateful Dead at like a barbecue in the summer in the background. Like,
I will
where you're
say,
not listening to a lyric and you can't hear anything, and it's just like chilling.
Like,
I love
rock.
It.
The highest compliment you can pay a genre. I like it when I'm not really listening.
If I can barely hear it, that's
if I can barely hear it, I'm concentrating on something else.
It sets a great tone. It's
I
like,
think I'm always pleasantly surprised when Grateful Dead comes on or Fish comes on, because I think in my head I imagine them to be so much worse than they are, because I have the same vibe. I'm like, I don't like that shit.
Yeah.
But I've heard plenty of Grateful Dead songs where I'm like, who is this? And everyone's like, Grateful Dead. I'm like, this is what they sound like?
Yeah.
And it happens every time I hear a Grateful Dead song. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not such a hater.
Give me $100. I can't name three Grateful Dead songs.
No idea. No idea.
Can you name one?
You love the Grateful Dead. You just said so.
Yeah. No, I don't really know the...
Can name one song.
I don't know the song titles so much.
Touch of Grey.
Yeah, I love Touch of Grey. I prefer the War on Drugs whatever of
that one
remake, he's a real aficionado, you know. I thought the title, and he comes out with all this intricate like specific shit.
I'm Joe. I love the Grateful Dead. I love them so much, mostly when I can't hear them, and even more so when they're reinterpreted through a Philly band that I do like.
Well, dude, I mean, if you ask me any band that I like, I can't name 90% of their songs. I don't do like song titles. I don't hold any of that, but yeah. They got plenty of great shit.
Skid, favorite air instrument?
Rhythm guitar. James Hetfield.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you do that differently than another type of guitar? So show me your rhythm guitar.
It's just like really fucking rhythm.
Yeah.
He's not at the bat, hooray, you know?
Yeah.
You're not doing the lead line. You're not going
to play.
It doesn't matter with the rhythm. It's like,
Yeah. All right, so getting that fucking wall of sound out there, blowing people's fucking faces off, shredding. That's what it's all about.
Whereas lead guitar, you're doing other things. You're singing. Yeah,
you have to like sing and like
strumming,
concentrate.
You're moving chords around.
Yeah, you're soloing on the guitar.
Yeah. Whereas you're just want to
chug.
Yeah.
Just want to
chug it.
Yeah.
Just melt.
Even if it's not appropriate off. For the song.
Yeah. Tearing into that guitar like it did something terrible to your mouth.
That's right. I think of it like a musical M60. It's like, mowing people down with sounds. That's the way I play.
It's quite a band we're getting.
It's an interesting mix.
What do you play?
The really high bass.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a stand-up bass now and then.
Oh.
And maybe mix the keytar.
And
yeah,
you
I think I'm
going to
put
head.
The keytar in there. That's what, if I'm doing this, that's when I, hold on. My roadie handed me the keytar.
My roadie handed
you gotta
me
really,
the
if
keytar.
You want to play in an air band, you got to really get into it. Like where it's like, this, it's out of tune. Can I get it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's really? The best part. You have to go those extra layers.
Extra miles.
You got to like slam the cymbals on the fine, like, and then you have to like reach out and tune silence it.
I was a little let down that your air microphone didn't include microphone standography.
I was going to say the
you mic only use wireless?
No, absolutely not. The mic stand is a part of it, and sometimes you do like the trick with the cord, like you wrap it around your neck and then you like swing it back around or something. Like you got to go crazy. No wireless mics.
No. Okay. You got a scarf like Steven Tyler.
Wait, what does he do?
He's got a scarf on
multiple scarves.
Oh, tied on. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you can do that thing where you make the mic go down to the crowd and step on it, comes back up.
Yes.
That's hard to kind of mimic.
Love it, elevator.
It's like 2 degrees from Three Stooges. It like hits me in the face like a rake. I'm like,
somehow fuck it up.
That is so funny.
Even in my fantasy, I fuck it up. Like, I'm bad at it.
You're still in total control of the reality. You still fuck it up.
Wait, I haven't... Skid just greased my palm.
Oh, what? Under the table?
Pre-show?
When did you do
pre-show?
That?
Pre-show.
You have long palms.
At the bathroom.
Wait, you just, like, go under?
No, under the table?
I said it down here. I forgot about it. Skid greased my palm.
Wait, so pre-show today, he did a bit from last week's episode?
Yes.
In the bathroom?
I was coming out of the bathroom.
Oh, I was going to say, I have a lot of questions.
He met me there, and he had some bills, you know, a lot of bills in his hand, and he just handed me a dollar bill.
Oh.
And didn't say anything. Or didn't winked. Anything. Was there a wink?
I think it was implied.
I think he knew.
I said, thank you.
Because
our bathroom here, you either have to have the key or have to wait for someone to come out. And so I was waiting, and he opened the door for me. It's like, what do you do when you're, you know, trying to get into a place like a bathroom and you can't do it and someone lets you in?
You just had a single at the ready? Oh, you said, hold on.
What if it wasn't Matthew who came out?
You know what?
He had a wad of bills in his hand when I opened the
door. I had money in my hand for another reason.
You were walking into the bathroom with a wad of bills?
You just finished a drug deal with someone else?
You never know. You never know when you go into a bathroom if there's going to be an attendant in there. You don't want one to be in there.
Yeah.
But you have to be ready if they are. You have to have your cash ready to go.
Or if you're in South America, you need to pay for the toilet paper. You have to be ready to pay to earn your toilet paper so you can use the bathroom.
Yeah. Or if they don't have any, then you just use it as toilet paper.
Yeah.
Classic. I always think of Joe and I's first night we hung out. I think you've told this story before. Mm-hmm. When I drunkenly backed into a car and said, oh, pardon me, miss.
Oh, that's right.
I threw a single on the car and left.
And I was down the street and I was like, that is the funniest drunk I've ever met in my life. I've never met a drunk quite that funny.
Pardon me, man.
And
I couldn't pick up the bill because
I
took the
bill.
I was going to say,
I made a buck.
My favorite air gesture, because you can have air guitar, but then there's air gestures that mimic something, is from The Godfather when Sonny breaks the camera. When Sonny breaks the camera and he walks away and then he unfolds a bill and do that. I mean, Francis and I used to do this all the time. We just
tear off some bills
and just pay for it. Like, you're so angry, the angry pay. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Do you guys have any other air things you do?
I gotta think about it.
There's a ton.
Air gestures,
air gestures. This should be the episode today.
We should do the whole episode without speaking.
Right. Air dice.
This is awesome for a viewing audience.
Air dice sound great to me right about now.
Oh, yeah. That would be amazing.
I can make up whatever number I want.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a 20.
You, you believe me?
Yeah, I did. That was real.
Yeah, that was an air dice.
Oh,
look
really
at this
good.
Here in my tray. It's a bottle cap.
Oh!
air bottle cap.
Look at that. Oh. Air bottle cap. Air,
whoa. 11 an elevator.
We're going to think about this, and maybe this whole show will be air.
Be right back.
Air actual play.
So let's be honest. I'm getting older. I mean, we're all getting older, but there are certain ways I feel it. You know, after a night out with a couple of drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. I have to make a choice. I can either have a fun night or a great next day. And that's where ZBiotics came into my life. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. So I've said this before, but I was skeptical. I was skeptical. I admit. And then I had a couple of, I got dragooned into a couple of exciting nights on the town, such as they were. And I decided to give it a try. And the next morning I felt like a human being. I felt like a person. I was shocked. And now I gave them as stocking stuffers for Christmas. And I was talking about it with a friend of mine and we met for a drink. And she was like, where's my probiotic thing? Apparently I'm a convert. And now, you know, vacations, weddings, birthdays, and reunions. Oh my, there's so much going on. Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to zbiotics.com/GCP to get 15% off your first order when you use GCP at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/GCP and use code GCP at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
So Mother's Day just wrapped up, and this year I am way ahead of the game already on Father's Day. I'm out of the gate running because I know I'm going to get my dad a Henson shaving razor. I'm so psyched. At first, dad's going to be a little skeptical. I'm not surprised. Dad doesn't like change. I get it. He's a multi-blade razor guy. He has been for a long time, but I have got no doubt that once he tries Henson shaving, he'll be a convert just like I am. Henson Shaving is a family-owned aerospace parts manufacturer that saw a problem in the razor market and has stepped in to fix it. They have designed an old-school style single-blade razor that clamps the blade down to an extension of merely 0.0013 inches. That's less than the width of a human hair. This reduces the blade's wobble to nearly zero and results in less nicks and just flat out less irritation. So if this was like a known problem, why didn't other razor brands just fix it? Because it's a manufacturing issue. Henson uses aerospace grade CNC machines, which allows them to get staggering precision in the creation of the razor. Yeah, but dad's not going to care about that. He doesn't care about fancy aerospace talk. I get it. I'll tell you what he does care about, though. The bottom line. What's it going to cost me? It's going to blow his mind when I tell him that I use the GCP discount to get the razor and 2 years of replacement blades. That's 100 blades in one shot. So for at least 2 years and probably more, he won't spend a dime on those expensive multi-blade cartridges. And then after that time is up, 2 years, however long it takes, 3 years, it'll cost him around $5 a year for the rest of his life. And the way this razor is built, I have no doubt it'll last as long as he does. I can't wait to give it to him. And I'm so pumped that Henson sponsored the GCP so that I could get this sweet discount. If you don't have one of these already, get one and try it out for yourself. I promise you'll see why I'm so fired up about it. Visit HensonShaving.com/GCP to pick the razor for you and use code GCP and you'll get 2 years worth of blades for free with your razor. Just make sure to add them to your cart. That's 100 blades when you head to HensonShaving.com/GCP and use code GCP.
Folks, we're back. And the air is coming out of my mouth to thank our sponsors, Norse Foundry. Didn't really help the players last week.
No.
Didn't really help the players. Or any week for that matter. But only rolls above 17 for your old
buddy. Well,
that's
what I was going to say. I was going to be like, you know what, Norse Foundry? You're the worst. But then I remembered, you did all that damage. with your Norse foundry, Troy Dye. You said it after the show. You were like, this dye, it was just unbelievable. Like you were staggered, but it was almost like it was divine to you. You were looking at it like it was otherworldly. And I was like, that's the Troy Dye, right? And you were like, yeah.
Yeah, it really works well. I don't even have a full set. I only have the D20. But anyways, shout out to Norse Foundry. They mean well. And
they have best of intentions.
They try so hard.
Like you, I know they're rooting for us.
That's true. That actually is true. And then, of course, Demiplane and Foundry VTT. What are you doing? Follow the links below the video or in the liner notes of your podcast app and give them a purchase. Yeah.
Support them for supporting us.
Right. And they'll continue to do so. Well, last week was a classic Pathfinder sesh. It's just like a step above a random encounter where everyone almost dies.
Yeah. I mean, from the jump.
It was a classic like Medea. Yeah.
just a bad encounter situation made worse by bad rolling.
A comic impulse, as you pointed out right before the show.
I said, if we look back at this, if Ramius goes down today, which is the most likely outcome, I'll look back at the episode before last week. I'll look back at episode 33, and I'll just hear those words over and over again of me saying, I said, like, I think it's ridiculous that Brother Ramius is crossing these rocks first, but whatever, let's go. And Brother Ramius was a little high. So I sort of justified it as that. But from a meta standpoint, it's like, Troy's like, you come to this river. Let's go to the map. You go to the foundry map. It's like, why are you on a foundry map?
Yeah.
For any other reason than to get your ass kicked. Like, that's what's about to happen. So I should have known and just meta been like, I'm going to stay back. And I said, and Matthew agreed, that if Brother Ramius was at the back of the line, none of this would have happened.
Nope. And Asta would have been where Brother Ramius was. She would have been first.
Yep.
She was behind you.
And you could have lit him up.
And I could have just immediately spell strike.
Yep. And as you guys went down, I could just bring you up. I was not in harm's way. I was, far away. And
we had too much fun.
We had just gotten done with like another brutal battle. So I just kind of assumed like, how bad
next
could it be?
Next stop is the Gondolas. Like, next stop, Gondolas.
Yeah. Like, I thought the issue, I didn't think we would have like, a creature. I thought it would be the river is somehow
slippery
like,
rocks or yeah. Oh no, you mean like you thought like a supernatural?
No, like
thing?
A puzzle.
Greetings,
or like,
friends.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Blood River.
I thought it was going to be slippery rocks hazard or like a puzzle of some sort. Like there's only one way to cross the river, and you have to bring the wolf across with the feed bag. First.
As you step on that rock, it crumbles. So you roll a reflex save.
Sure, which is the path. I was wrong.
Yep.
The minute you put a map out there as a GM, you know you're maybe tipping your hand. You know, I try to like sprinkle in some maps that have no encounters just to keep you off your game. But at the end of the day, the minute the map goes out, you can't help but metagame like, all right, where is it? What's going to happen here? To your credit, I think you played it right without knowing the map. But it sucks. It sucks where you are.
Yeah.
We suffered the map penalty.
Yep.
Yeah. Bam. And there's the
episode. Bottle cap.
You know what? I'm going to give it a bottle cap.
Yeah! All right. Man, finally. Good puns back again.
That was a good one.
Earning the caps.
Was truly the map penalty.
Oh, it's a Yelka.
Oh, nice.
Yelka.
Yelka.
Nice.
Yeah, real, real shitty. And yet, it just felt like you guys had it together there. There was like, you've said over and over again, like going down, that's part of the game. That's part of Pathfinder 2E. You go down, you come up, you go down, you come up, you're wounded, you dip, dip, bop, da boop. Obviously without caps flowing generously, there's a lot more danger. But I really thought you guys had it in hand. The fact that this thing hasn't taken, a ton of damage makes it all the more difficult. But with only one person that can do ranged healing, you can do it, but you have to be within a certain.
It's a very specific circumstance I can use it in, and the range is limited, and it's a limited amount of healing too.
Yeah,
and as we said last week, the map itself is quite deadly.
Yeah, the map is deadly.
That's why it was removing the sort of personal frustration from it. It's a really interesting encounter just with the hazard, with the sort of limitations on where you can go.
Well, because it drives you. You want the rest of us all kind of felt this instinct. You want to get out of the water, right?
Yeah.
So if it manages to split you onto either side of the river, you can't do much range healing.
Which it did.
Yeah, the split was brutal. And, you know, I was thinking back to how I did it with, like, oh, you went unconscious on the rocks. And I like what we settled on. I like that it's bad enough just being unconscious on the rocks, falling in and drowning, like all of you would have been dead. But I think the way it's written sort of assumes that you're going to get hit. Some of you are going to get hit and knocked in, and then you're fighting to get back into the fight. And if you can't swim well, you're just out of the combat. So that's like the worst that happens to you until you hit the bend in the river where you go over the falls.
Which is the very real consequence in front of Talitha right now.
It's also comical that you're like, the book assumes that you would get hit and fall in potentially. When we were getting one hit critted dying two.
By the minions.
The minion put me down one time.
The minions were critting us, yeah.
Yeah, you were already so low just because I'm rolling nothing below a 17 and double damage.
It's crazy.
It's nasty wasty.
Nasty wasty.
Nasty wasty.
I imagine you're laying there on this.
Face down.
Blood rock.
Crushed.
Back is broken.
Bones crushed. Bleeding out of ears and eyes.
Didn't you say like multiple times, you're like, my ribs are broken. My back is broken.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for real, I went 17 points below zero.
Jeez.
Yeah. You're laying there in the water, this blood red water, which you know is from a rust deposit, but it really just looks like blood. It may not have that viscosity of blood, but it's rushing over you. Bubbling over your face, and the lights keep going out. You're coming back up. Lights are going out again, and you're feeling that. If you ever had like a panic attack where you feel like you're going to die as you're going to sleep, do you ever have that? You're like, you have that panic attack where you're like, oh, I felt like I was just about to die. That feeling. Thankfully, I haven't had one in a while, but it's a horrible feeling. You're like, oh, the lights are going out. That's what's happening to you. You're seconds away from permanently dying. And as this water is rushing over you, you hear everything. There's like people screaming in the distance, screaming from pain, yelling to each other. And we hear that water rushing and now you just hear sloshing water. And we see a small well. We're looking from above into the well. And you see water moving in the well. We pull back and we see that same well. And there's like a beaten old wooden house. A small mule cart. It's like midday. But the cloud cover is so thick, it almost feels like twilight. The house itself seems to feed this darkness as it gives off an aura of hopelessness and melancholy. It's a very sad-looking house, and we recognize the place as Pa Mosby's farm.
Oh.
And our eyes just slowly move towards this old farmhouse, like a Tarkovsky movie, just slowly moving in on this farmhouse, and then pitches up to the second floor as we float through a smudged, unkempt window into the room of Jiminy, Pa Mosby's son. And in this room, we see three figures. There's Jiminy, his mother Moira, and brother Ramius of Latria. Feels like we're seeing something play out that we've seen before, but it's at a different angle. Maybe we're viewing it to the audience. Seems the same but different, and Brother Ramius is asking these questions, and Jiminy is answering them. We can see it's painful for Jiminy. He's nearly in tears. Brother Ramius is like...
And when did he most recently visit you?
When Pa came back, he said, they're all gonna die. And he's gonna kill them all.
Jiminy's crying.
That is not going to happen, Jiminy. Nothing is going to happen to your parents. I can show you why. Come. Come with me.
Ramius stands up and offers a hand to Jiminy, who takes it, and together they walk out of the farmhouse and begin to move over rolling hills near the cliffside where the house is perched.
Moira stands on the porch watching them go, and the burdens that had clearly settled into her face over the recent months seem to fade away, and she smiles as she watches the two of them disappear over a hill. The skies have cleared, and a brilliant sun now blazes down on this monk and this boy, and we can hear the sounds of waves crashing against the cliffs below. A fine mist reaches up into the air and settles on their skin and clothes.
Ah, isn't it refreshing?
Where are we?
We are about a half day's hike west of Latria. This is the countryside where I grew up, Jiminy. Those are the western cliffs of the Shadow Isle.
Where are we going?
Oh, not far. Just past those two massive sycamores. You see them in the distance. Do you know why they call it the Shadow Isle?
No.
Many hundreds of years ago, when the first explorers set out from Avistan in their ships, searching for Aslan or whatever other riches lie to the west, one ship came upon an ominous sight in the mist. The outline of jagged peaks and foreboding mountains. But they could not get an angle on it, no matter how much they sailed around the island. There seemed no clear path in. All was covered in this mist. Those shadows. They had to bravely punch through it at some point, risking crashing against the rocks. And when one ship was brave enough, they found it to be a rather beautiful place. But from the outside, all darkness, all shadows.
Did any of them die?
The sailors? Oh, yes. Many.
And Ramius and Jiminy just walk between these two sycamore trees, which seem to stand oddly alone in this cliffside country.
This one here was mine. And that one there, my brother's.
Your brother's?
Yes.
You just keep walking down a gentle slope to the edge of the cliff and peer over the side.
And here it is, Jiminy. This is where I wanted to take you.
Jiminy looks over and kind of steps back a little. Why?
I have wanted to return here for many years, Jiminy. This place holds a special place in my heart. It's a special significance for me. Without this cliff, without these waves, I may never have become an Avnethan monk.
See that the cliff is like maybe 30 feet high, waves occasionally crashing into the wall at its base and then draining back off to reveal like a rocky crag below. Brother Ramius kneels down, maybe to be like of a similar height to Jiminy, and places a hand on Jiminy's shoulder. Perhaps it's a cloud moving before the midday sun, but suddenly everything turns darker very quickly. And in the distance, the rolling hills begin to be drained of their color. The great sycamores, vibrant only moments ago, seem to take on a pale, nearly colorless hue.
Your real father. He told you that you were his heir, right?
Yes.
And you wish to be free of him. To be free of this slim man that haunts you.
Mm-hmm.
He looks out toward the ocean, and if it was blue, it's now just like a grayish color.
Touch of gray.
Touch of gray. It has a touch of gray. Maybe some wind blows and ruffles his robes a little bit, and color seems to be drained from him as well. He looks ashen and drawn. And his eyes have so much weight to them. A sadness. A regret. And he turns back to Jiminy and he's like, "Remember when I told you that, though I didn't look it, that I was a soldier? That I fought devils and demons and dark things?"
"Yes."
"Well, Jiminy, a soldier must at times make very difficult decisions." And he shoves him off the cliff.
It's just shocking how quickly the body drops. He's so small, so light, yet like a stone, it takes no more than an instant before his body just slams into the rocks below. And we see this boy wail in pain, grabbing at his broken leg. But as we look, it's not Jiminy. It's Brother Ramius. And he's younger, much younger. Jiminy's age, perhaps. And the world around him, not unlike the trees and the sky, is now devoid of color, though it looks like the cliffs of Latria. This cannot be the Shadow Isle. It's very clearly Nighthold. And the little boy Ramius looks up to the cliff from where he fell, but he did not fall. Did he? Was he pushed? The cliffs in their glossy blackness stand in contrast to the pale white grayness of the sky, and a figure rises into view over the edge of the cliff. An unnaturally tall, slim silhouette looks down. Ramius looks at his broken body, then out to the waves. They're coming. They're crashing toward him. He looks up again and shouts to this motionless figure,
"Help me! Help me, please!"
The figure just slowly recedes from the cliffs.
"No, no, 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 please don't! No, don't leave me alone!"
Just shrinks away until it's completely gone. Though it may be a trick of the ear, Ramius hears a deep, unsettling laughter now mixing with the crashing sound of the impending waves, and Ramius turns to look at the sea and is instantly enveloped in a wave of inky black death. We come back to the Blood Red River for a very, very important death save. Now, you sent me this beautiful scene here, and this is a scene that will earn you a bottle cap. However, it's up to you if you feel it would be right to you.
Oh, that's some Catholic mom shit right there.
Yeah. A moment like this.
Oh, boy.
Now, obviously, the way our rules are written is if your dying condition would increase, you can use a bottle cap to wipe away the dying condition. So maybe you won't even have to use it. Maybe you'll roll a 13 or higher. Maybe you won't. So you'll have to decide if your life is worth a bottle cap, if you'd rather just let the dice tell you. I'd rather you not.
Just give me the bottle
cap. I'm just going to leave it between us.
Right there. I want to see it. Is it?
Don't touch it.
It's Dalgrith, the Deathbringer.
Oh, no.
Things ended so well for him.
It's like a tarot bottle cap.
Yeah, it's a tarot bottle cap. It's like when you get the death card and tarot. It's like, oh, no. It's like, no, it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's upside down, though. Oh, fuck. Oh, that's bad. That one's bad.
Oh, man.
So, you know, normally I wouldn't do this. I don't want it to feel too plot armory, but this was a great, maybe you were gaming.
I mean, he certainly earned a bottle cap for that.
Maybe. I thought he earned the bottle cap for being ridiculously high and charging across the river.
That was funny, too.
That was funny, too.
As we walked downstairs after last week's session, I was like, I probably should have given you a bottle cap for that scene, but I forgot.
I got a lot going on.
I was like, I can't do it now. It'd be obvious, but you have
also,
the cap.
Also, just want to say, for the record, that you've had this scene for, like, since we've been in Kanipo's court. Mm-hmm. So I didn't write it to get out of this situation.
I was going to ask.
But I wrote it when I sent it to you. I said, this is for if he is dying, like if he has a dying condition. It's like cut to this because it was so goddamn dangerous in there. It was like at any point we could be going down. So I just wanted to be prepared with something that what he sees in his final moments is so dark and so terrifying on both ends. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and you've alluded to this before, this cliffside situation, this falling child. And yeah, I mean, I can't help but not give you a bottle cap, but I want you to decide what you're going to do with it. It is your turn. It is round 7. Oh, this creature is, I mean, still very much up. Talitha is rushing towards the falls. Hubert is slowly making his way over to maybe try and help. Asta has just regained consciousness on the shore.
No.
Oh, no, you're I keep She's thinking still, you're,
I know.
It, I keep. I just want to think you go conscious.
You would think after a time off. I do go conscious, but I don't.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's
10 minutes. Minimum 10 minutes, yeah, but yeah. GM's description.
Yeah, I forget that. But anyways, you're unconscious.
Well, I was picturing. I was like, if there was a way that you guys defeated this creature while I was out, and if I happened to roll my way back up, or I'm sorry, if everybody died, for example, and it just went away, I was like, I could see a world in which you, for example, or if I rolled well enough to get back to zero, that this creature would just go away, like just, you know, leave, not necessarily.
Just wanted to eat you.
Maybe, but I don't think that that's why it's attacking. I don't really know. But anyway, if it wasn't, I was like, you could totally see it like in a movie, like you wake up.
Everyone's dead.
Everybody's dead. It's hours later. You like pull yourself.
Crawl away.
So hurt, crawling away. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, I'm going to roll this death save. Here we go.
13 or higher, you move. It's not like you're out of the woods. Like, right, life's right, fine.
Which is why, like, I was like, should I not use the cap because it's cheesy and I could just use it for the next character? But then I was like, no, I'm absolutely going to use the cap if I fail this because I still think I could easily die.
What if you get a natural one? Do you think you're just like...
Oh, that might be.
You're like, you know what? I think
the universe is.
That's the risk.
Whoa.
All right, so that sounds good.
The Deathbringer has spoken.
You cannot resist.
Well, no, I like that. I like that because it's like.
I'm just going to put this proposition on the table.
That scene is also.
I was like, okay.
Here's a bottle of poison I found on the way to walk over.
I love the risk. I love the risk. You got to have stakes.
I'm so I know you're a gambler.
It's a knife. Why don't we say it's sharp?
I'm a born gambler.
You're a born gambler.
And I love that idea. Because of this scene, sitting there broken and alone and so terrified and so scared, imagine the waves just come in. There is a chance that just the horror of that alone could permanently kill you while you were already dying. But let's see if he powers through and lives. Natural 20!
Oh!
Holy shit!
Wow!
Oh, baby!
Wow!
Planet die in my face!
So you actually go to dying one.
I mean,
right?
Dying one. I mean, in all the iterations that I thought about what would happen here and what character I would make and everything, never once did I consider the possibility of a natural 20. No. It never entered my mind.
Why would you? I didn't.
I was like, I could succeed.
History suggests.
History. You'd be a fool to anticipate it.
I mean, this was
Norse Foundry! For all your random number generating things!
It never dawned on me either.
Right?
But, like, I'm so glad. All I wanted was you to actually roll the save and not have to use the cap.
Me too.
I didn't want you to have to use the cap.
Wow.
Oh! All right.
All right. Back into this terrible, awful
nest of knuckles.
And now, Talitha's death scene.
Yeah.
Well, it goes to Asta, who's unconscious. And then
but stable.
I go like this. That's my
good
action.
Round. Good round.
It's my three action.
Well played.
Wow. Action drawn.
Now it's Giant Snail Thing's turn.
No.
Ugh.
And Buggles is all alone.
Turns.
Yeah. Buggles.
It will first action move to Buggles.
What about Hubert?
Don't worry about Hubert. Second action, it's going to do a pseudopod on Buggles. That's a 27.
Ugh. Oh, wow. That's a... It's a crit, I think.
Is it?
That's a crit.
No. Your AC 17?
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yep.
24 points.
One
glimmer of hope and then all death.
Why did we even
This is exactly what I said last ep where I was just kind of like, It was literally just you about to die. Now suddenly, it is Buggles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. We're just taking 6 turns. Seconds.
All right, so Buggles goes to dying two. Jeepers crow. Buggles is dying two. And then with its last action, it commands the little thing near Hubert to attack Hubert. It moves to Hubert, and it attacks.
Come on. Hey, maybe Hubert could get to me next turn.
Give you mouth to mouth.
Administer a potione.
Oh, and it misses Hubert by one.
Wow. Wow.
Misses Hubert's AC by one.
Oh, so Hubert's
one.
Third level.
Oh, my God. Hubert killing has that one hand. One
Hubert
of
has natural armor.
Yeah, spiky.
All right, now it's Hubert's turn.
Come on, Hubert.
He can backtail it into the water. He can. Seen him do it before.
He can kiss Brother Ramius and bring him back to life.
All right, well, here's what he's going to do. Style. Hubert's going to roll a perception check. Okay, Hubert rolls a perception check. You want to get into the weeds here? Rolls a 22. Pretty good perception to see, because he doesn't have any healing implements. Is there anything on Asta or Ramius's body, on their person, that he sees?
This is why I asked about the fruit. Like, would we all have a piece of fruit on us? Would we have split it up? Would we have divvied it up? Like,
I think the fruit is...
Brother Ramius has a healing potion on him. Minor healing potion.
I have an elixir of life on my belt.
Let me see what else.
He looks down. He can't see Talitha with a 22.
He can't.
She's also like,
She's 50 feet downstream.
I have Talitha.
I have an elixir of life minor and a healing potion minor.
Okay.
I wonder if they have any drinky drews.
Drinky drews.
Oh, perhaps I could help. I'm not quite sure how it works. Yeah. Scraped my knee on that last jump.
I feel real bad for him.
Feel a little dehydrated out here in the jungle.
I really shouldn't talk shit because he could be a savior here, but whatever, we'll see. It's really got to be Zephyr. Zephyr has to put this creature down. That's the thing.
Maybe an act like this would make them think of old Hubert as a hero. Okay. Let's see here if I can mouse a big jump. here. Pardon me, sir. I'm just going to try. Oh, first action leaps.
Whoa. Epic leap.
Oh, good thing it was only 10 feet. That made it doable. There's a single action there. Oh, there's Brother Ramius there. Oh, no, but he's in a weird spot. Wonder if he's got any drinky drews. Can't quite tell. I'm going to have to actually roll here now to make this leap.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, my.
He'll be fine.
Well, the way he rolls...
Yeah. What's the worst that can happen?
He's going to leap over the rock.
Yeah.
Fall into the river and die?
I got a decent athletics. Let's see here. All right, Mama Hedge. I'm coming home! Natural 17.
Oh, my God, this die! Can't be stopped.
It's actually kind of ridiculous. All right, so he's just ridiculous. Like, oh, second action. He's got one action left, and he will pull the potion off of your
amazing. Yes. Okay, all right.
Hubert.
He brings it near his mouth. And now it's...
I wonder how he tastes.
Buggles will now move in the order behind Giant Snail Thing. And it is Zephyr's...
Oh, my God, it's my turn again.
Turn. Zephyr is, besides Talitha, the only conscious...
Oh, my God.
Character.
So,
you got this.
With the whiplash of everything that happened, what I was originally planning on doing was, like, double moving toward Talitha to assist her if she makes it closer to shore.
Save Buggles!
But, like, it's not guaranteed that you're going to swim closer to the shore because you have a negative one to swim.
Yes.
Buggles just went down. I don't think she can leave Buggles. So from here, I'm going to try to Flurry of Blows.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see if I hit first.
Yep.
Good start.
Good start.
So she hesitates. She was about to run away. She sees Buggles go down. She's like, no. No, let me try one more time.
Action Kate.
Definitely
Action
not.
Action Kate is in the house.
Round.
Come on.
This is a real round. 16 on the first one.
Ugh.
Nothing but a 21 hits.
That's right.
Because these are...
Or more.
Well, 22.
Crazy. Or 23.
Do you have an arrow that can trip him?
Stop.
Wow. Still bringing up trip.
can't not bring it up.
Okay. Oh, that one hits. It's 21.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Wow, yes.
Barely.
21.
Nice. All right.
Roll max DiMaggio.
No.
Oh.
It's a 20.
Oh.
The natural 17, by the way.
Natural 17.
Literally no one cares if you lie. just.
And that's coming from Joe.
I just want everyone to know, I'm not just rolling crap. I rolled pretty good last episode too, but it's always on like the second or third hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, she didn't hit that.
So, first action flurry of blows. You're still in your monastic archer stance.
If I were to run up to Buggles, like, what am I doing? You're 25 feet away.
Dragging him away.
Well, I mean, you're not trained in medicine.
The problem is, like, then you're leaving yourself as a target.
I know.
It's probably its next move. As you've seen, it keeps attacking people, and then once they go down, it moves. It's like, all right, well, that dinner's... Let's get as much food as I can.
All right.
I'm
going to double move down to Talitha.
Yeah.
To try to help her if she comes up. I'm not hitting this thing.
All right, well, so how, what is your...
And hit it.
What is your movement?
25 feet.
All right, so you can move a total of 50 feet.
And last ep you said she was like 50 feet away, like downstream.
I actually have it on the map. I just can't see. So I can move you 30 there and then...
Describe it epically. Narratively.
Yeah.
She runs down.
She saw Buggles go down.
I'm talking to Trish.
Oh.
And ran the other way.
And ran away.
Can you see Talitha now?
Yes, I can actually.
All right, so
hi, Zephyr.
I moved her exactly 50 feet, and now Talitha is on the shore 15 feet away from Talitha. But if Talitha doesn't make these swims, she's just going to go further and further. Are, with 50 feet, you got pretty damn close.
Do I have, like, rope in my adventurer's pack?
You probably do. I would assume you have.
Noted.
That's not a question for the GM.
As she's running, she's like...
Your character sheet?
Yep. 50 feet of rope is included.
I think as she's running, she's like patting herself down. She's like, where's my bag? Where's the rope? Was there a rope? So she's looking for rope.
Looking.
On her person.
Okay.
For rope. Okay. We go to the top of round 8. And it is Talitha's turn.
Here we go.
Okay.
Please don't float further away.
Swim.
Come
first
on.
Action. Natural 2.
Oh!
All right, so you're now move 10 feet further.
Oh my god.
It won't even let me put you 10 feet further, so I'm just going to put you diagonally. You're being pulled towards the falls. So I'm going to say that's where the bend in the river is.
Okay.
Being pulled directly towards the falls.
All right. Another swim. 7. Changing dice.
Do you want one of mine?
Nah, I got more.
Okay.
I mean, how many rolls are you from over the edge?
I mean, I can see. I can kind of see where the bend is.
Okay, so you still got another round.
Being pulled along.
It's like 50 almost feet away.
50?
Well, I mean, I don't know where the falls
are. As the crow flies.
Okay.
Round and a half.
Okay.
Oh. Okay, 12.
I don't think, yeah.
Did we determine the DC? Is it 15?
We don't, but 15. I know that 12 fails.
Oh, we do know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so you went from 15 feet away to 45 feet.
You have 50 feet of rope, baby. Oh,
yeah.
Just tie it to an arrow.
Tie it to an arrow and just like
shoot
try
me.
To.
Shoot
her. I'll miss.
Yeah, shoot her. You don't have to worry about her hitting you.
Aim for my heart.
Not a danger at all.
I mean, this
aim I'll center miss. Mass. You'll put it right next to him.
Okay. All right. Now, Ghost, Brother Ramius, you're still dying.
Still dying.
Okay.
I'm up.
It's your turn, yeah.
Dude, this is huge, man. On an 11, he's stable.
Not huge.
It's not huge. Come on. 11 or higher. Joe die. Come on, buddy. Come on. Out of the jaw, not counting it. Joe die.
No.
What
no.
is it?
No.
Who did it?
No.
Natural one!
No!
Come on! Why did you just take it away? Every moment of happiness.
So you're back to dying 3.
When you rolled a natural 20, I was like, my mind thought, oh my god, if he rolls a natural 1.
Oh my god.
I never. I hate it. Oh god.
Ungoddamn believable. Oh,
no. I can't take this emotional pressure.
Those of you who thought you were turning into an episode where, you know, things would change.
That's
we
just
continue our slow march towards death.
It's more the same than ever.
You know what I like to imagine? That maybe when Hubert came over, he like accidentally stepped on Brother Ramius a little bit, like in a wound.
He took one
directly.
Point of damage and dropped him.
God. Oh my god. So
you're back to dying 3.
You're back to dying three,
and you're not going to use the cap.
No.
Well, he has the potion. Yeah, he's got the potion.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I've got the potion.
Yeah.
Oh,
shit. Oh. Well, Hubert's got
Hubert's going to pour it in your mouth.
Yeah. He's gone. We're leaving it up to old Hubert. All right, so...
Oh, you pulled me out of unconscious. That was nice.
I didn't mean to. All right, so you're dying three. Just astounding. Goes to Asta, still unconscious.
Am I no longer sickened?
I think it's been close enough to five rounds.
Okay, yeah. I'm just going to take it off now. I'm just getting ready to wake up. I'm
you're
so
unconscious
excited.
And
wake up.
Just in a pile of your own vomit.
Yep.
And now it goes to Buggles' death save.
Oh, this is a permadeath save.
It Wait, is, but no. He did get a cat.
Oh, right. He's got
yeah.
it.
Okay.
And he's a dying two, right?
You're dying
I'm dying two.
Two.
If he fumbles, yeah. that's...
A fumble.
Oh, with, okay.
For vagina, yeah. But he's got a cat.
Look at that smile. Roll the dice.
He's
cat. It's about rolling dice, not about spending caps. That's 14.
Oh. 14.
All right.
All right. So you go to dying one.
Okay.
Old dying one.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we all died or got swept away by the river? I mean, he says it started a new part. Somewhere else.
Next episode starts with all of your bodies mangled on the falls.
My God. And it's like
no,
another just, party finds it of adventurers. Like, what happened here?
Trust me, my
why
wheels
do they
are
have
already
all this
turning.
Fruit.
First, we're in.
What is all this? Why are they each carrying?
Seems
fruit?
Like they haven't divvied them up properly. Seems like whenever they want a fruit, they just seem to have the fruit.
Why
on
didn't
their
they just eat, just eat the fruit if they were dying?
I still think we're on Casterbell, so anyone who finds us is going to be we're a whole planet away from anyone who knows us.
It is the giant snail thing's turn. It is still very much up. One, two. Three unconscious party members and one about to be swept over the falls. We'll be back right after this quick break.
Oh, man, still going.
So you've heard the word lumen a few times now, and I know what you're thinking. I don't know what that is, and now I'm too scared to ask. No worries, I got you. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. And then it has an app that lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs, and it gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, your workouts, your sleep, and even your stress management. All you have to do is breathe into your Lumen first thing in the morning, and then you know where your metabolism's at, if you're burning fat, if you're burning carbs. And then Lumen gives you this fully personalized nutrition plan for that day based on those measurements. Personally, I struggle with taking the first few steps or setting goals for myself. I can see the big picture and I know what I want, but I get really discouraged very easily. Lumen makes it so simple to make nutritional goals for yourself and then follow through on them. You know, I wake up, I breathe into my Lumen, I know where my metabolism's at for that day, and then based on those measurements, it tells me all these meals that I could have or these workouts that I could do, or it's like, hey, you know, you haven't been sleeping well, here's some steps you can take to improve that. And I'm like, thank you, Lumen, for making it so simple. You know, it just tells me, I'm like, that's what I need. I need somebody to just look at me in the eyes and say, hey, you don't have to eat a salad for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's actually not good for you. You actually need protein. I'm like, oh, duh. Thanks, Lumen. So if you're like me and you need help taking those next steps to improving your health, go to lumen.me and use GCP to get $100 off your Lumen. That is lumen.me and use GCP at checkout for $100 off. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
For those of you who are in New York like I am, you probably remember a day not too long ago where a conflux of meteorological events, phenomena, etc., caused there to be a truly, truly horrible air quality day here in New York. I mean, you looked outside, it looked like Blade Runner 2049. It was truly stunning. I've seen a lot of things in New York, but I hadn't seen that before. The air was yellow. It was a thing. And after that, I really, I've got a young child. We really started to think about the air quality in our apartment, which led me down a road that leads now to NeoPX. NeoPX is the world's first plant microbiome system bioengineered to purify the air in your home. Indoor air can be up to 5 times more polluted than outdoors, mainly due to harmful pollutants called VOCs, or volatile organic compounds. They're constantly emitted indoors from thousands of common household products like furniture, paint, cosmetics, and more. NeoPX was invented by PhD scientists to target 3 of the most harmful VOCs found in your home, and is up to 30 times better than a regular houseplant at fighting indoor air pollution. It's based on 5 years of research and development to enable NeoPX to capture and recycle VOCs into useful matter like sugar and amino acids. Every month, you pour the bioengineered formula called Power Drops into the plant's soil to supercharge NeoPX's air pollution capacity. NeoPX comes with a self-watering planter called the Shell, so you only have to water it every 2 to 3 weeks. So after the aforementioned air quality event, we ended up just buying air purifiers, spending all kinds of money on getting an air purifier in every room, and they, at this point, probably make up a fair share of my electricity bill. And with NeoPX, I can get clean air with just some sun and water, and also I love plants, and it looks great. When you purchase NeoPX, you will receive 6 Power Drop sachets. To celebrate the launch, NeoPlants is offering a 7th sachet free of charge. That's 1 extra month of pure air free. Go to neoplants.com/GCN and the code will be applied automatically at checkout. Shipping available within the US and soon to many more countries.
This is insanity. This is insanity. It's middle of round 8. This creature has wreaked havoc. I mean, when I was reading people's accounts of this encounter, and dying happens a lot. You know, they might be playing it differently with me in terms of how people are falling into the water, but I think it's just as deadly, if not more so. You fall into the water when you're unconscious, you're going to die, like Skid said last week in terms of the drowning rules. And then you've got the
rapids. I think it's a little extreme, the kind of punishment for falling into the water unconscious. It's a little excessive. Certainly is not good for your health, but it's like almost instantaneous death.
Yeah, and also the way it's written, two saves.
The way that it's written, they don't seem to account for falling into the water unconscious.
Yeah.
The way it's written, it flows from being underwater for like 17 rounds
and then
running out of breath. Oxygen, then it's like, then you go unconscious, then one round later you die.
Right.
The rule doesn't say, like, if you fall into the water unconscious, you die if you don't make this first save.
Yeah. Right. That's why I was like, if you're going unconscious, sure, you could do an acrobatics check to see if as the lights are going out, you slip or fall or not. But then now, let's stretch it further. You make a reflex save to grab on. But then you're unconscious. You let go. Like, it's this. To me, there's no point. So having you fall on the rock, as you can see, is arguably more deadly. So it's the snail's turn. Buggles is still unconscious and dying. Zephyr is the last viable target, and so it is going to move towards Zephyr. However, Zephyr is pretty far away. It is slow, but it can swim. And so swim it does.
Oh, no, it's coming down here.
It gets all the way to the edge.
Oh, my gosh.
My God, I kind of want you to just go over the edge. Just like Aragorn that shit. And then we find Talitha. It's fine. A little while later, splash down the bottom.
Can Talitha and the snail, Professor Moriarty, and me go over the falls and you never know what happens?
You want to have fun?
So
let's have some fun.
I could drive it away.
To let go.
It's Hubert Hedge's turn. Remember old
my man, Hubert Hedge? And pants.
This is his save the cat moment.
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, what do I do with this?
Oh, dear.
Okay. What is this thing here? Come on, look. I can see through it and everything looks bigger. Isn't that funny? Smells good. Smells like Susan.
Isn't she a rock?
And I bought her that new perfume for her birthday.
Buy her healing potion.
Lilacs and whatnot. Takes a little sip. Oh, tingles on my upper lip. Now, how does this work? Do I pour it into his belly button?
Oh. Starts pulling up my robes.
Oh, look at that. He's an outie. It's canon now. Outie, someone cut you wrong. Quite sure here. Do I just rub it on your nose? And he administers the potion.
Yeah, all right.
Yes. Okay, Hubert.
I love the fact of him having this moment with this rampaging giant slug killing us all in the background. It's like, ooh, that's a tingle.
Just amazing.
So what is the
1d8.
1d8. All right, so yeah. Hubert will roll. Get ready for 1 hit point. 5.
Hey!
It doesn't matter how many hit points we have against this monster, because even if Troy doesn't crit, he's going to take us down.
Right. Yeah.
1 hit.
All right. So
and dying or a wounded one.
Wounded one. Yep. You are wounded, but you are conscious and you are still prone.
Oh boy.
Asta is unconscious and prone.
and our good friend Buggles is unconscious, dying and prone. That was only one action for Hubert.
Yeah.
Oh!
He already had it in his hand.
Brother Ramius, welcome back to our world. Hey, listen.
Thank you, Hubert. Where are the others?
And he's scanning around. I think in an instant he sees Asta.
He's like, oh, everyone else is dead. Except Zephyr. Brother Zephyr's over there. She's got a rope in her hand, not quite sure. Actually, it'll be an action to take that rope out of her pack. Doesn't have a rope in her hand. Thinks she's going for a rope. Heard her mention rope as she was going down there. Asta's dead, though. Boggles.
No.
Deceased, yeah. Talitha's going over the waterfall down there. You see it? Anyway.
I'll turn and look. Just flailing in the water.
I have two actions left, and I don't know what to do. What should I do? Should I just push Brother Asta's body into the water? Maybe distract the snare?
You said you have a potion on you, right?
Use it as bait?
We got two different ones.
No, look. Look, she has a potion on her belt. Grab it, just like you did for me. Grab it and administer it to her. Go, hurry!
Why, hold on.
She may only have seconds left.
All right, don't yell.
He leaps over to the shore.
You stupid bastard! Hurry!
Oh, hello, Brother Asta.
As he leaps, he accidentally kicks her katana into the water.
Splash.
Oh.
It would sink. It's heavy.
Is right. It a floating katana?
No.
Right into the runny drips.
A stupid thing to bring to the river.
My floating katana.
I thought we could, like, forge the river with it if we all float on it.
What do you have on your person right now?
There's an elixir of life minor, and there's a healing potion. I would ask him to take the healing potion because it's 1d8.
And what else is on your body?
There's a smoke ball lesser, there's rope, there's a crowbar, there's a brass ear, there's a rune stone, there's a scimitar, there's the adventurer's pack.
All right, so we go through this whole rigmarole and be like, this one here! That's the scimitar.
Put this in her mouth!
No!
What about this? The smoke bomb.
No, the red, the potion, it looks exactly like mine!
Set of keys!
Into it.
No? All right. I'll use this one.
Crumbs in there, too. A lot of, like, cookie crumbs.
Third action, he retrieves the potion. And that's all he can do.
Cool.
It is now Zephyr's turn.
Oh my
turn.
God, it's my turn again?
I think you're the only one unexcited to go. We're all like, I hope it's my turn.
It happens so fast. Well, I hope that more happens in between my turns so that it can change what I can do. All right, so I'm watching you measure about 45 feet away from where I am to the shore to where Talitha is. I don't see the slug in my view, but I'm assuming it's like right at the line of
it is,
where the map is.
About 20 feet away from you. Yeah, okay. It'll be on you next round.
So, if I were to attach a rope to an arrow and shoot it at Talitha, how would that help her?
Well, let's try and make this as realistic as possible with the action economy you have. So, first action, retrieve the rope. Do you think the rope has a grappling hook attached to it? Generally.
Would it need it?
Grappling hook's a separate item. I mean,
but usually,
we
like,
could say
I
this
think
one
in the adventure,
it,
the standard adventurer's pack, I think it does come with a grappling hook.
That's why I ask. I remember in like 1E, it often did. I always imagine.
Let's look up the adventurer's pack.
Ah, all right. Let's assume that it does for now. So you would have to take it and do a ranged attack. But you're aiming for a square, which, if it's like Pathfinder 1E, it's AC5.
Right.
So you're really only a critical failure.
What there's range to think about.
Yeah, it's probably like the range. It probably is a 10-foot range increment of accuracy. Then you start taking penalties.
Yeah, so still a pretty. If you're just aiming for like the space next to her, AC
it does not have a grappling hook.
Okay, all right. So you just got to get the rope out there.
Backpack, bedroll, 10 pieces of chalk, flint and steel, 50 feet of rope, 2 weeks' rations, soap, 5 torches, and a water skin.
I'm also technically still in my monastic archer stance, so I kind of need to use my bow.
That's the wisest thing.
I think so too.
To do.
She can hit that target.
Rope requires two hands.
Talitha, let's be honest, can be easily replaced.
A2 skin?
No.
A2 skin?
Yeah, I'm not seeing what the range increments are for the rope, so we'll think about this. But all right, so let's say you want to, first thing you retrieve it.
Take out the
second rope. Action, tie it to an arrow. Third action, fire.
Basically, yeah, that's what I want to do.
All right, here's what I'm going to say. What is your range on your bow?
So
if you were trying to hit a space right next to her as close as possible, so 40 feet away.
Yeah, so I'm in my monastic archer stance. It needs to be within 30 to 50 feet. So it's 40 feet, that's perfect.
Okay, so pretty much just don't roll a natural one, and you should be able to shoot an arrow.
Sorry,
right Kate. Next to Talitha.
Thanks for this.
You just
which dice you want me to roll?
Can't roll a natural.
You don't care.
One. I think Matthew should roll this.
No,
she's shooting her bow.
That's no fun.
I think. All right, come on.
It's a plus eight.
Yeah, just not a natural one.
Yeah.
No.
26.
Oh! Now you roll.
Nice. I couldn't read that face.
She's unreadable.
All right, so
I'm inscrutable.
More than enough. The
wow!
It just plunks.
An epic moment. Plump in the water,
right next to the
lake.
Yeah.
Like maybe you see her getting ready to shoot an arrow at you, and you're just like, no.
I knew it.
But then she shoots it well when she's not trying to shoot an enemy.
River treacher. Goes to the top around nine. Talitha, a rope landed just next to you.
Spunk.
I grab the rope and start climbing. So, or pulling. How do you want to? Is this?
I'm going to say you can
climb
just.
Speed?
I'm going to say that.
What's the rope attached to?
Zephyr.
Me.
Yeah. In the fantasy of this, I imagine you shot it and then grabbed it, or tied it to yourself
like
before
tied
you
it
shot
to my
it.
Arm before
you could
I shot
be like,
it off.
You could be standing on the end of it, or
something. Yeah.
There's a number of different ways. However you want to fantasize it, but I'm going to say, for the sake of moving things along, that you can go 30 feet. You can
three action,
get 30 feet closer. You're pulling yourself
pulling
there.
Against the current, water splashing up into your mouth. You take some in, swallow it.
This
drowning.
Slug is also approaching us.
Yeah, I know.
As I'm we're trying against the clock to pull you in.
Yeah,
I mean, this is going to be interesting here. It's Brother Ramius's turn. He's back.
Oh, God.
And they're still. So, I mean, Zephyr is holding the rope with Talitha in the water. If this slug isn't somehow subdued, it's going to come down, hit you. If Zephyr goes unconscious, she releases the rope, and Talitha then has to make a swim check to either make it to shore or be swept away with no
I'm 10 feet from shore.
Oh, 10 my
feet
God. From shore.
Oh, my God. You're so close.
There's so many things that could go wrong.
God.
And Brother Ramius is in another part of the campaign.
For real, man.
I can't ever. I can't see anything but Zephyr.
Yeah.
Oh my God! It's just an impossible goddamn.
Every turn matters.
Yeah, I.
And you're wounded.
Yeah, I can't help.
Draw
Buggles.
The attention of this thing over. It comes over and kills you.
Sure, I'm fine with that. I have no means of drawing its attention. It is 10 feet out of range. Just 10 goddamn feet.
Wait, the snail?
Yeah.
10 feet of
snail,
out of range.
70
of what?
Feet away. Yeah.
Of a range attack. Of my range attack.
Oh, help Buggles.
I there's nothing I can do for him this turn. He's too far away.
Stand up.
But I will start to. Oh God, and these little shits are all over the rocks.
But he needs to command them. The snail.
That's true. He needs to command them. You can get around them. And
Brother Ramius, watch out for the runny drips. They're everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, these things, but if he commands one of them, I mean, I will go down immediately.
Yeah.
Like, instantly.
They're perfectly placed, too.
Yeah, so there's no way to get to Buggles.
Well, there is.
You can go up.
Yeah, you can leap.
Leap, action.
Leap.
Oh, yeah.
Leap.
It's tricky.
I mean, that's a 20-foot leap. That's not possible.
Yeah, 10 is free.
You'd have to roll for it.
Yeah, but it's just not. Oh. Like, you know, Brother Ramius, this is no acrobatics. It's tricky. I also didn't want to waste the entire turn. So, God, these little shits. All right. Here's what I'm going to do then. I have to stand up as an action and get my feet on this slippery rock. Then I will leap as an. 10 feet is free.
Yeah, and the way we're playing it is 10 feet is free.
10 feet is free.
Just takes an action.
The edge of this rock is 10 feet away. So, and I, yeah, left there before. All right, so I will leap to the next rock. Gah!
If anyone has a speed of 30, you can leap 15 feet.
Oh.
From a standing start?
Yeah, you land in the space where your leap ends. You can't make a horizontal leap if your speed is less than 15. Yeah, it's just a straight horizontal or vertical jump. Anything greater than that requires the athletic skill.
All right, I'm going to stay there, I think, for the moment. Just checking my range to Buggles. Oh, my God, this is brutal. I'm going to stay there for the moment. I can't figure it out. Wait, let me check my range to him. I don't think it's any better. Right? 65 feet. Now I'm 5 feet closer. But still just 5 feet out of range.
Knock one of the pseudopods off. Don't waste the action.
I can't because it's two actions. So I had to get up.
You don't have a cantrip? There's one point of damage?
Two actions.
Two action cantrip?
They're all two actions. You know, with some exceptions. But so, man, I'm going to...
You lost up?
Yeah, I can't. I don't have the action economy. But she'll be up in a second.
You got one action.
Yeah, I'm going to... I'll do a recall knowledge on the creature.
Good idea.
See if I can't pull something that could help us here.
Okay, arcana or nature?
Nature.
Okay, what's your jump?
Plus eight.
Yeah, it's meant to be hard. You're like, what the?
It's an alien.
Never read about this shit.
Never heard of anything like this.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Goes to Asta, still unconscious, and then Buggles death save.
Okay. That's a fail.
So back to dying two.
Back to dying two.
Okay.
Okay. Boink. Dying two for Buggles.
This is a puzzle.
It turned out to be a puzzle.
Now it goes to Giant Snail Thing. Giant Snail Thing will move to Zephyr.
She's holding the goddamn rope!
You just give me 1 second, Snail.
1 second!
She asks the snail, free action.
Wait, I'm going to throw some knowledge.
Yeah.
Snail.
Yeah.
Delay.
Snail delay?
Maybe it wants to see what I'm doing.
I mean, this is crazy because like...
Moves like a snail.
You going down...
Snail-like pace.
...means that Talitha can't free get up there. Talitha then will have to roll.
Which she's been doing so well.
While the weight of the rope increases.
You're what you're talking, Kate.
Listen. I got to be able to dish it if I take roll. It all the time. Right? That's how it goes?
It's so crazy because one successful roll and you'll be safe if she goes down. We're assuming she goes down. Maybe not. But one fail and you're just... You're back. You're back. But maybe you can enact your original plan, which is go over the falls with this thing. Because this thing could very well kill everyone.
Yeah.
And it's going to pseudopod smash Zephyr.
We'll see about that. How about you roll to hit first?
Here it comes. Here it comes. Haven't rolled low in a while. Lord's Foundry. It's not about to start now. That is a 26 to hit.
Regular hit.
Regular hit.
Oh, regular no, you're hit. Low. You have to be low.
I don't know what you're sitting at for hit points. That's close to max. 15 points of bludgeoning.
I'm still up.
Oh!
So you just, she's like looking at the snail coming. She's like, no. And you like smack her with your tentacle.
Pseudo John?
Pseudo-John.
She just takes it. She just takes it and continues to hold on to the rope.
That's fucking it. That's Action Kate. That's fucking Action Kate.
That's Action Kate.
I think this is what I'm good at. That's whatever this is.
Yeah.
Holding this rope. This free action. All right, so.
Free action Kate.
It's got one more free action Kate.
Free action Kate. That's if she goes
free action Kate.
If she ever
free
goes
free action Kate.
I don't know what it means, free but I like when people chant me in my name.
It means
name.
Stop attacking her.
Last free action Kate. Free action Kate.
Last action.
Suffered enough.
Shoot a pod with the map. I don't know what your AC is. I forgot it. I don't want to know. Where's Foundry? Okay, well. I think if anyone that's going to be a 20, if anyone this is going to miss, it's you.
What did you roll?
A 20 total.
Are you sure that's what you rolled?
I rolled a dirty 20.
My AC is 20. You so bitch.
So that's a hit. And it is for 14 points of bludgeoning damage.
Not up anymore.
Oh, God.
It wasn't a crit, though. Wasn't a crit.
The TPK is unfolding.
She goes to dying one.
Is there any way?
And the rope just...
I had the little bit of luck, but I can't use it.
Falls into the water.
There's no way.
Talitha, you're just...
gives it the rope.
You see her, like, take the first hit, and then the second one. Nope. Can't take it.
Does she land on the rope so that her body is weighing it down?
I think I do.
How much does she weigh?
I don't know. She's pretty...
Why don't you do a reflex save to grab the rope?
Yeah.
I mean, if she's holding it, then she falls over... She might land right on the rope. Seems like a luck.
It might be just enough weight.
Seems like a luck check to
a
me.
A guy comes up next to you. Talitha biting it today. It is Hubert Hedges' turn.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, my God.
What do I do with this?
Gosh. You just did it.
Another rub it. 10 minutes.
You just did it.
I feel like I just did this. Tarnation, do I do with this? And he pours.
Put it in her mouth!
Oh, sorry.
Pours it in your mouth.
So done with this.
He says, hello. Good morning,
Hubert.
Yes.
No. Why am I doing an accent? I'm doing your accent.
Hubert?
I'm really fucked up.
I gave you the drink you drew.
Hubert, if you're here, that means everyone has to be dead, because why would you be here helping me?
And he looks at you with all seriousness and says, they are.
Oh.
Yes.
Such an ass.
Brother Ramius is still alive, but everyone else did.
She looks around on the beach but can't see anything from her position because everyone is off the map. No one's even on the map anymore. I can't see anybody.
He cradles your face in his hands. We shall start a new life together.
Oh, my God. Smacks his paws.
Sorry.
Get yourself together, Hubert.
Didn't mean in a romantic way. Wanted to leave the door open, but all right.
We have to get out of here. We have to get out of here.
I'll flirt with somebody else. All right, well, I got a couple of actions left. Anything else on your person I can pour on you?
No.
All right.
Go.
It's a
do
bad
something.
Time. Do you know where the loo is? I feel like I gotta pee.
Everywhere.
All right, I'm gonna just... I wanna go see what's going on over here. And, alley-oop. And he jumps over here. And back onto the river. And then moves a little bit. And that's it.
Hubert, where's my katana?
Oh, it's right there in the water. Oh, there it goes.
Oh, there it goes.
Hit it on my leap. And Zephyr now moves right before Giant Snail Thing. Guess it's time for the first round 10 in a while.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Been a minute.
Talitha.
Quite literally.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Okay.
All right.
This is it. Make no mistake. Well,
you got this.
This is it.
Ooh. Natural 17.
Oh, she did it.
Oh, it was worth it.
She did it.
But now you're next to the snail.
Yeah, it climbed right up on shore. You're right next to Zephyr, who is out. And you have two actions left.
Just run.
Pick Zephyr up. Run.
No crossbow. You know this thing can move. It, not fast, but it can catch up with you.
Can we could just go over land. Have we seen it move on land?
We haven't really.
It's you saw it go up over the rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget, it has a million little legs.
Don't worry.
Right, I keep forgetting.
Don't worry, Zephyr. I can get you away from this and shove her in the water.
I have a catfall. Maybe I can survive the waterfall.
Bye, Zephyr.
Zephyr's
kidding. I'm kidding.
Viking funeral.
Yeah, actually, Talitha's going to run. Yeah. It's the smartest thing to do at the moment.
Just get away from this goddamn thing.
So I will try to run back towards Buggles.
Okay.
Or go deeper inland. At an angle, up toward Buggles, farther inland.
Right.
Just make it commit to either you or us. You know what I mean?
Actually, you know what? It's going to come after me no matter what.
I know, but don't lure it to Buggles.
Yeah. Because then if he comes back up, he could just go right back down again.
Also, if you use two move actions, most likely it has to use two move actions. At least it won't get two swings on you in a round.
But I could stay prone, pull out my healing potion, and feed it to the Zephyr.
But then you're
you
both...
You have two actions right now. Yeah. Oh, you're saying you're next to her right now?
Yeah.
All right. Then you'll both go down next round.
Yeah, that's my concern.
One hit, pow. Two hit, pow.
But she's already down. So no matter what direction I go, it can catch up to me.
Yeah.
I'll go right
but
before
if you
the
use two
goes.
Actions, oh, you're prone. All right.
So we're both going to be down. So assuming it goes back up after you, you guys have some time to chew on it for a while. But just trying to game it so we can keep the most people up. I jump back in the water with the rope.
I have a plan.
There's not a lot. Oh.
So it's either double move back towards the party.
Single move.
Or
I have to stand up.
Oh, you have to stand up.
Stand up, single move. It comes and hits down. You go right back to dying one, maybe
yes,
two.
Maybe two. Probably two, because I'm wounded.
Crawl to it and get one attack off.
I'll have a weapon. I have to draw a weapon.
Crawl to it and punch it in the snail nuts.
Snail. Sort of the worst products introduced.
Snail nuts are so bad.
I don't want snail nuts.
Hated them.
Mom, are we out of snail nuts again?
But if I feed it, if I give Zephyr the potion, two of us are up. More likely that one of us will be up. No, because it has two attacks.
Well, Zephyr goes before
I'll go before the thing.
So she could get up and run away.
Yep. All right. So I will stay on the ground.
Swimmer. Okay.
And I will pull out a Elixir of Life Lesser and feed it to Zephyr.
Okay.
That's 3d6 plus 6.
Wow.
Dang. Zephyr will lose the dying condition, but will gain the wounded condition and will remain prone.
Okay.
Nice. I can see from here how good that
16
is.
16 points of 22 points of healing.
Whoa. Damn.
Yeah, it's an amazing potion. Wow. What a great potion.
So, yeah, you give her the potion, she comes right back. She's like, "Oh god.
Run."
Okay.
Don't forget you are not holding your bow.
Yeah. You so run without
leave
the bow.
Leave the bow, but beep. Something to think about.
Leave the bow.
Take the cannoli. It's Brother Ramius's turn. I mean, I have no idea how this fight's going to end. Absolutely no idea.
All right, so I think this might work out here. So Brother Ramius is just going to come to... Well, these rocks are 10 feet apart, so that's what I wanted to do. He wants to leap to this rock.
All right, right to the middle, the one that has
and then leap to this rock. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't end on the turn with those things.
Yeah. Right.
So okay. He leaps past it. Oh, but that's two fucking actions.
Whoop.
That's why I couldn't do it before. Damn it. All right, little by little. And then he will...
I mean, it seems better than staying next to that thing, which could hit you and just take you down.
Yeah, I agree.
Looking at it.
Just trying to play the long game here.
There it is.
And he will do a third leap toward the shore.
Okay, you are about 10 feet away from Buggles. Boop, boop, boom. Three diagonal leaps.
Yeah.
One, two, three. You're now exactly 10 feet away from Buggles.
He's just rushing to get to Buggles. Buggles, hold out! I've got you!
All right, Asta, it is your full turn. You are prone, and your weapon is beside you.
Free action. I mean, I yell to Brother Ramius. What do we do?
He just turns back around to you and just going to say, "Stay there! Stay on that side! Stay alive! Split its focus!
I will find you!
I will find you!"
Okay, so...
If it comes back up here, you hit it from there, we'll hit it from here!
The issue also is, like, Asta does so well in melee when she can spell strike, and her distance for her range spells is just not that much. Most of them are 30 feet, one is 60
feet.
Yeah,
slashing gust.
Yeah.
You're just slashing gust
so
all day.
So I gotta wait until it comes back.
Yeah.
So she's gonna...
But you still need to stand up. You still need to get your katana anyway.
She's gonna scoop her katana from this red, muddy sediment.
Or just take your other potion right now.
She's gonna scoop her... Oh, because you have to take out the potion.
And then drink it. That's
two
actions.
Can we say that Hubert, since he pulled everything out of my backpack and belt, that the potion is on the ground next to me and I can just drink it as an action?
It wouldn't matter.
You still have to grab it.
You still have to interact.
The only way is if you put it in your hand.
Did he? Of course he did. It's interesting.
I think he did a lot.
Okay, but I don't have to take it out, then drink it as two actions.
Yes, you do.
Is it on the ground is what I'm asking.
If it was on the table, you need to grab it from the table.
It's on the ground.
Open it.
I reach over from the ground.
I want this to be a collaborative story.
Yes, and.
You know what?
Yes,
it's on the ground. It's on the ground.
You know what? That's right. We're doing this together.
Thank you. I reach over to the ground. I drink it. That's 1d6.
Okay, another 1d.
And then I'm going to grab my katana.
Second time.
And
that's it.
And I'm going to stand.
No.
Nope.
With your fourth action?
You can stand or katana.
Katana, grab, drink. That's good. That's a good round.
I hate this.
That's a good round.
One.
Whoa, my God.
There it goes.
The die went. The die flew.
Oh, it's gone.
Sydney did a Joe.
Wow. So
I think that die tore a hole in our side.
Mad. I'm so upset.
And this combat broke Sydney.
Oh, wait. How many hit points did... Do you want me to roll for the...
Yeah, you guys never rolled.
Eight?
Oh, how many is a
D8? D8. Probably eight.
Yeah, it's a safe
one.
You're fucking...
I wanted to make sure it wasn't a seven.
You're kidding me.
It's a one.
Oh, my.
Hit points for what?
Two potions.
I have
two hit points.
Oh, the other potion.
You know what? No. I don't bring out my katana. I'm on the ground. I drink my potion. Seppuku? And I take out my and I commit seppuku. I take out my fruit.
Your wakizashi.
And I eat my fruit too.
Can't.
No.
Can't.
You can.
You're right.
Two actions to do.
All right. I picked up my katana. All right.
I have an idea. Stand up instead of picking up your katana. You can always pick that up next round. And if you, for some reason, need
you're
to run.
You're right. You're right. You're right. You know what? You're actually very right. The katana is still on the ground. I stand up. That's my turn.
And now you're set.
And I have 2 hit points.
Hubert gave you 1, and you got 1. I was like, that can't be a 1. That's got to be a 7. Nope, it's a 1. All right. Hubert says, you're right there.
No!
God.
Brother Ramius is dead now, too.
What?
Yes.
Can't really
see beyond 10 feet.
He can't see beyond 10 feet.
Kind of assume everyone's dead.
Actually, the hedgehogs do have very poor vision.
Bad vision. Bad.
Hubert, do you have any healing potions?
Who's saying that?
What?
He's more than 10 feet away.
So sorry, the sun's in my eye.
It's Asta.
Can't quite see. Sure. Buggles, your turn. Death roll for cutie. Dying 2.
Natural 20.
Oh! All right, so you are unconscious, but you've lost the dying condition.
Amazing.
And like every other character, you are wounded.
Awesome.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
Still have that bottle cap.
Phenomenal.
Still got that cap. That's right. Good conservation of the cap.
Yeah.
Cap
conservation.
Ooh, cap con. Wow, look at everyone. Everyone is wounded except Hubert Hedge.
Oh my God.
And the giant snail thing.
And the giant snail.
Zephyr, I need a. Well, no, I don't need a death roll because you are no longer dying.
Yeah.
Nope.
Let's go.
Let's go.
So yeah, she's gonna listen to what Sleetha said.
Go.
Get up.
See your bow. It was. Tell me the bow's story. Was it carved out of a tree that your mother was buried at?
No.
Was it your mother's bone tree?
Was it carved out of your best friend?
I bought it with a coupon.
Carved out of my dead best friend.
Bought it with a coupon.
Was it a buy one, get one free bow you got at Costco?
Going
probably
out of
more like that.
It was a good sale.
It was a clearance
honestly,
sale.
A clearance bow. Yeah, I mean, like, she looks at the bow really quickly, and she's like, if I take the time to pick this up, I'm not going to get that far away. And she leaves it.
Leaves it.
And double runs, because then I'll be able to run 50 feet away.
Okay.
And I run a little bit inland as I do so, just in case this thing is slower over land and would have less distance it can travel over land.
Great idea.
Right.
Love it. Great.
Nice.
So that's what I do.
Good.
And I go, Talitha, play dead.
Action case.
I think it might be dumb.
Talitha goes,
just play dead for like a second.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It deception, John.
Hasn't attacked any of the other dead folk.
You're an investigator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The master of disguise.
Once something goes down, it leaves it.
Yeah.
So.
Can you move your character 50 feet?
Yeah, I can. Are you measuring? Okay. Oops.
Yeah.
Stand up. You leave your bow. The speed with which you move, you kick the bow into the water.
No, like that would take an extra action.
That's an interact action.
It was an accident.
Action.
You didn't mean
interact.
To do it.
You didn't mean to do it.
Well, the next time I die, I accidentally give myself a healing potion.
That's fair. Okay. It is the giant snail thing's turn. Giant snail thing has this uncanny ability known as life sense. So it knows that Talitha is still alive.
Knows that I'm faking?
Knows that you're faking. It can distinguish between the vital energy animating living creatures and the void energy animating undead creatures.
Son of a bee.
Much as sight distinguishes colors.
Sure, it's gonna miss.
That sounds remastered to me.
It sounds a little remastered.
Well, then how come it ran away from... Well, we were dying. It put us right to dying, that's why.
It's like, all right, I can deal with that food later. Let me deal with this food. It is going to... It has to move. Okay, or chooses to move. One step closer to Talitha. Maybe I got a natural 1 in me. Or even a 2.
No chance.
Always found. Okay, very low.
Doesn't matter.
I'm pro.
Okay, 18 total.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay, it's a natural 5.
It's AC. Whatever.
Level 2.
Wasn't a crit, though. 14 points of bludgeoning.
I'm unconscious and dying.
Okay.
Were you ever dying? Yeah, you were. So now you're...
I'm dying 2.
Dying 2.
Oh. Dying 2.
You would have been better off going over the falls.
Probably, honestly.
right. Because then narratively, you could have lived.
Right.
Okay. This final action, it just shoves you into the water.
What? That's so messed up.
Shove takes the map.
Shove takes the map. All right. And now it is going to start chasing...
Amy.
It's going to start chasing Amy, oddly enough.
I wish if it started that movie, we'd have like 96 minutes to get out of here. Like, guys, it just started chasing Amy. Let's go.
That's really fun.
Now's our moment.
A lot of people didn't get that. That was really fun.
I said chasing Amy, and all I could think of was Britney Spears.
I was thinking of Britney Spears. Yeah. I was like, if you seek Amy.
If you seek Amy. You guys know that one?
You guys get it?
No.
If you seek Amy.
All the boys and all the girls are big into it.
If you seek Amy.
All right, that's as far as I
can. They're not getting it. We'll just let it slide.
All right, nobody gets it.
We'll look it up later.
It's Hubert Hedges' turn.
Go piss, girl.
Oi.
Oi.
Asta.
Yes.
Where are you?
You just gave me something. You just gave it to me.
Oh, now Asta's dead, too.
I'm not dead, Hubert. I'm on the shore.
Starting to feel things for her.
I do have 2 hit points. Do you have any healing?
I can still hear her voice. Hubert, carrying on the wind.
Hubert, I'm going to punt you off the rock.
What's that now? You love me, too? All right, I'm going to go check what's over here. Hello. One jump. Oh, look at me. Right in the water. Second jump. Hello. Oh, look at that. Some people over there. And,
Hubert, this way.
Brother Ramius, you live?
Keep coming.
Who's that on the shore over there? Is that a dead zebra?
It's Buggles. It's Buggles.
Oh, look at that. It's Buggles.
Zephyr's coming back.
It's so tiny.
We're going to turn it around.
Round 11. It is Talitha's. Oh no, you're dying. You have to go all the way down there. It is Brother Ramius' turn.
Brother Ramius.
Okay, Brother Ramius is going to heal Buggles.
Nice.
So he'll reach out and cast heal on Buggles.
For a max heal!
Oh yes!
Yeah! Needed that.
16.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay. Of healing.
That's great. So he's.
And then he will leap to the shore next to Buggles and just make sure that he's awake.
Are you all right, Buggles?
Yes.
He's all bloodied and wet.
Where am I?
You're on the shore. It's coming up behind me. Help me.
No.
Help me.
I'll try.
All right. So it is Asta's turn.
Okay. Asta's going to grab her katana. First action. And. Man. All right, I'm going to look at the creature. I'm trying to see if there's a range for invigorating fear. If you demoralize, if you try to, is there a range?
It's probably sight and hearing.
Okay, so
how you're demoralizing, right?
Yeah, I'm going to try to demoralize. Wait, you've seen Challengers? We were just talking about Challengers. So she gets her katana.
Creature within 60 feet.
God damn, I throw my katana.
It's also a reaction.
It's a reaction. Okay.
Demoralizes reaction.
No. Invigorating fear is... so she doesn't do that. But she does free action get her katana from the other side of the shore and yell, come on! So she's ready to go. She just has nothing to do.
That's not a free action.
What?
It's not a free action. Are there any spells you can cast that are like buffs or anything like that? Do you have a two act? Because now you have 2 actions left.
How's your swim? Want to be a hero?
Swim's
be
fine.
A swashbuckler?
Swim's fine. No, I have like Sure Strike and Force Fang, which are like buffing spells, but to my next attack. Yep. So they're useless.
Oh, got to use Sure Strike on a spell strike.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it would be so dope if I could do that.
Yeah, just let it come up to you. Oh, that would be awesome.
So I think maybe, you know what? Even if I'm on this shore and the snail is all the way on the other shore, it's still too far. So she is going to hop onto the first rock in front of her just to get a wee bit closer, hoping that the snail will get into range.
Okay.
You have one more action.
I will do a check. I will do a knowledge, recall knowledge.
What's your nature or arcana?
Yeah, that's 0, but if I do my arcana, that's a +5. Nothing. Okay, that's my turn.
Okay. Us is on the rock. She's
we know that it can sense life.
We do know that.
It's Buggles' turn.
All right.
Okay. Buggles will stand up, sort of
on your feet.
Presses his fingers to his temples, and boom, frostbite against the creature. Fortitude save.
Fortitude
save. Awesome.
Let's go.
Creature.
Back to damaging this son of a bitch.
26.
Okay, that is a regular success.
Okay.
Okay, that's 4 points of damage.
Okay, every little bit counts.
And that's it for me.
All right, Buggles is up and has just shot a ray of frostbite.
It's actually, it's like this globe of frost, like, zoom, appears around it and, like, sort of contracts on it.
Oh, wow. Even better. Okay, I love it. It is Zephyr's turn. The choice to run seems to have been the wise one here, because now you get a full complement of actions to attack it if you so choose, or you could just keep running.
I hold.
Hold.
I stop running, and I hold.
Okay, little delay. Vandalay Industries.
Okay. And you want to be my latex salesman.
Talitha, I need a death save.
I'm dying too.
Yep. Critical failure will be...
dead.
Permanent. You don't have bottle cap.
I have no bottle cap.
Come on. How did this happen?
Natural one.
Oh my god.
Oh, Matthew. I'm
sorry. Oh, that's horrible.
What are you laughing at?
Oh man.
I cannot believe it's the second time that's happened on this show.
Yeah.
I can, the way we've been rolling.
I know, but oh my
Both
god.
Both times it was
it was a natural one. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
You sacrificed yourself for Zephyr.
Fly away. My Zephyr.
Zephyr.
What?
You're gonna have to earn this.
She probably thinks she ran away, like, saving Talitha a bit. Like, maybe she
drawing
didn't know
it.
It smacked her before.
Oh my gosh.
It chased her.
Zephyr, it's going to be the snail thing's turn unless you want to go.
Does it run up to me and stop?
You got to decide before it goes what you want to do here.
Well, what I was a...
It looks like it's going to come up.
Well, oh, no.
Did you use the luck that we got for your save?
You have Die Hard?
Well, I'm an investigator.
I thought you had.
What I should have done, which I forgot to do, was try the eerie. It wouldn't have mattered. You would have passed the flat check. But I had the eerie flicker, my deviant ability, to try to become concealed on that strike.
Oh.
But it's a flat check. You would have passed it anyway.
It's a...
Oh my god.
On what? What did
on
you
what?
Do?
We didn't practice? Do anything. You
on,
had
a,
to...
on a practice hypothetical roll.
Hypothetical flat check.
For that flat check.
Chill out over there. So what?
That could have been on Zephyr.
What right. I was intending to do was if you were going to run up to me and stop, once you got up to me, I would start smacking you.
I don't think you can interrupt a turn. I think if it's
you done, can ready an action.
You can ready and
yeah,
then
but
interrupt.
You held. You didn't.
Oh, you didn't ready an action.
I don't understand the difference.
Well, no, you
ready costs an action.
Okay. You actually could go now and ready.
Ready takes two actions,
okay.
And
but
you say...
But she only needs one. If the ghost of Talitha can weigh in, I almost think it's better for you to keep running.
Yeah, run farther away.
You're going to bend Kenobi here?
Like, climb the rocks.
Run, Talitha.
Climb the rocks, dude, on the shore.
Like,
get tight on it.
Run, Zephyr, run.
And then shoot arrows at it from above.
I don't have my
bone.
Run, Ben Kenobi. Run.
I don't know. I don't know how much it's willing to pursue us over land. But if we just all run in different directions,
actually retreat,
some of us will survive.
It's half on land, half not.
We will survive.
If
some
we just
of us.
Run inland?
People like to spread out and just start running.
If you triple move, you can outrun it.
I triple move inland. Like, I think I see Talitha maybe sort of get up and then not. And then I realize what happened.
Okay.
And she just runs inland now before the thing approaches.
All right.
It's the giant snail thing's turn. Is your intention... Well, let me tell you what happens here. With you running inland, and all of you on land except Hubert Hedge and Asta, I'm going to have it start feeding on Talitha, which would allow you guys the chance, if you took it, to, you would think, it's distracted enough.
But her body!
To make it across the rock safely. Or you could pursue this fight, and perhaps more of you would die. It starts, it turns, and just starts, like, sucking the life out of Talitha, like, sucking the juices out so that it can... more easily digest her. So you see a turn and just you'll never have a better chance than now to run. So
that's so dirty.
Your bow is next to my body.
I know.
She's got those cool goggles on. It's gonna eat
they're in my bag.
The goggles.
I've got some other cool stuff.
Yeah. What about all that cool stuff?
You guys wanna keep fighting this thing?
Don't
try and retrieve the body of your comrade.
Do you think it's going to eat all the items? Asta's wondering.
Please come back later.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
The items?
Mm-hmm.
The thing you should really be concerned about is Zephyr's bow.
That's an item.
It's not.
That's an item. Therefore, Asta cares.
I think Talitha would want her sacrifice not to be for naught.
Yeah, you have Talitha's crossbow. You could always switch to a crossbow.
That's true.
I have the crossbow. It's technically a bow. It's not the same. Yeah, I mean, we're running, right?
I can't believe you ran away, but...
What? You told me to run! I'm just listening to you guys. I mean...
Yeah, Brother Amos is like, get away from the water!
We're still in initiative, but this is just an out-of-initiative conversation. You tell me what your intentions are here. What are your intentions?
Are we going to sit here and try to fight it?
Get her home by midnight!
I'm dead. I'm pushing my microphone away from me.
Are we going to stay and try to fight it, or are we all going to run?
I mean, I don't think we should all TPK to just.
I don't have my bow anymore.
Body right now.
This thing one hit crits all the time. It can spout out as many minions as it wants, seemingly.
When it hits us, Troy.
Asta's wounded too.
When it hits us, does it hit us with the things coming out of the shells, or does it hit us with its like head?
It's got like a jelly arm that comes out of its body and just. Like a snail arm.
Also has a harebrained scheme, but she won't do it because it would kill her.
You're going to look for a sacrificial unicorn to let loose?
I don't see any, so no. I was going to...
Are there any creatures in a cage I could let loose?
Here was my idea. Joe's going to hate it. Troy's going to hate it. Skid might like it.
What is it?
I was going to take my crossbow and affix the rope to it and then try to get it around the snail's head. Like a thing.
What crossbow?
With how many
actions? I mean, my crowbar. And get it around its head and try to get on the back of the snail to attack it while on it so that it can't hit me if I'm on it. What's my idea?
It might be able to still hit you when you're on it.
It would probably, with the pseudopod thing that it has,
I think it would still be able to hit me.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think you can be on it.
I was going to mount it.
Unintentional mounting? Unwilling
yep.
mount?
Yeah.
You have that feat?
Yep.
No, you don't.
I'm coming back from the dead to say Sydney.
I think we have the same.
Let me look up the old mount
action. That's just gas escaping from the body. Don't listen.
What stops me from climbing on the big snail?
You can use the mount action. You are adjacent to a creature that is at least one size larger than you and is willing to be your mount. That's where it gets.
Is there an unwilling mount?
It's a bad idea. There's no such thing as bad ideas except...
I mean, you can, like, grapple it or something.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you guys got to tell me what you want. I know it's a really... I'm putting you in a purposely horrible position here. Asta's dying too. Wounded two, wounded one, wounded one. You want to continue the fight. There is every chance that more of you will die.
There's no reason to continue this fight.
Yeah, I think... unless we wanted... So it's like, we have to give her an open casket funeral. That's the only reason to stay here and keep fighting it. I think we should probably, just cheese it.
I think we should all leave.
You're not trying to track down this giant snail. We're trying to get off.
No,
this
I know. The giant snail is not our quest.
Yeah,
this isn't Moby Dick here.
I think we have to leave.
We should just go.
and we're running.
But we have to cross the river.
We have to cross the river, cross but the like river. This yeah. thing, we can
it's
all
distracted.
Do it.
Distracted. We can
distracted,
cross
we can get across.
The river safely.
Clearly wanted some dinner.
I was just hungry. Who hasn't been hungry in their lives?
All right.
Zephyr!
I don't have my bow.
Hurry, if you run, I think quickly you can grab it.
We'll make another one.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm not going back.
Across the river, we must get there.
Three actions across the river.
Could have made you another one.
Yeah.
So you guys just, while this thing is feeding on Talitha, we just see this, like, wide shot of all of you jumping from rock to rock to get to the other side. Your original plan. And as you're jumping and going to the other side, we just pan down and see this thing just chowing on Talitha. And Talitha, maybe in the like jerking motion of it sucking on you, your eyes open ever so gently, and you see your brother just reaching his hand out towards you. We'll see you next week.
Oh.
Tragic. Tragic.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com.
On a summer night, Douglas Wagg Jr. lay motionless across a strip of railroad tracks before being struck by an oncoming train. I'm investigative journalist Delia D'Ambra, and my investigation into exactly how Doug died took me into the depths of a bizarre mystery.
It was really hard to understand what was fact and what wasn't.
A mystery that has led me from one suspicious death to another. Listen to Counterclock now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to a journey into the heart of the Texas Renaissance Festival, the nation's largest and rowdiest celebration of medieval fantasy. But what lurks beneath the facade of tights and turkey legs? Well, we dove deep into the empire to uncover a history marred by mystery and misconduct, murders, assaults, and other crimes that tarnish its legacy. This isn't just a fairy tale. It's a cautionary tale of power, fantasy, and the consequences that follow when they all collide. Search for Crime Waves Renaissance Texas on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.